With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to answer some of your gardening queries. If you're like me, a garden centre is so much more than a place for tools and equipment. The plants are always colourful, and it can be a wonderful place to dine. Later on, I'll be speaking to Matthew Bent of Bent's Garden and Home Centre about their remarkable restaurant offerings and their winter food market. My thanks to my producer, Charlie Jones, and to Mr. Fothergill's Seeds, sponsors of this podcast. What a week. Went up to Sutton Coalfield to present the £350 Sutton's voucher to Town Junior School. They were the ones who grew the most potatoes in one bag in the potato growing competition. And then on to York. Didn't think that was a bad day's work. And then the next day up into the northeast, looking at nurseries and garden centres, before I headed off to Leeds. And then Friday evening, we had a reunion of all the old Pebble Mill at One staff, 80 of those people who were involved in that programme. You're obviously all much too young to remember that. I did manage to get the grass cut over the weekend, just as well, really, because I'm hosting Fergus Garrett, the head gardener from Great Dixter, for a cup of tea tonight, actually. And then he's going to speak at our local horticultural society. I said last week that we'd lost the Amalantia leaves in the gale-forced winds just 10 days or so ago. But at least we've now got the cherries. I've got one in my front garden. The leaves are absolutely crimson, really beautiful. And our offer this week in the paper is Cornus Winter Flame. That's a fantastic shrub. Has really good autumn colour. And of course, when they fall, you've still got colour because the bark is absolutely brilliant. It's a busy week for me. After my travels, I need to get back home because I've got more sweet peas to sow. I'll sow those in pots and put them under glass to try and catch up a bit. I have got some sown direct where the soil was well prepared. And then there's narcissus and tulips to plant in beds and containers. You can often find bargain bulbs on garden centres as they clear stock to make space for Christmas. So keep your eye out for some bargains. Always go for really big, plump bulbs. And it's the same story for soft fruit. If your local garden centre has got special offers clearing the decks, then I can't recommend strongly enough planting some soft fruits. I'm still picking very nearly a handful a day of raspberries from Autumn Treasure and Paris. Those two varieties have cropped wonderfully for me. And at the Detling Fruit Show this week, East Smalling Research launched two new Primo Cane raspberries. That's the kind that fruit on the current year's cane. And if you just tip off the fruited bit, they'll fruit a second time in the summer, in June, July. Means you can be picking raspberries for June to, well, end of October. There are two new varieties, Morling Bella, a mid-season, easy to pick and very heavy yielding double cropping kind, and Morling Charm, an early one with moderate vigour, so it has short to medium height and should be good in containers. I haven't grown it, but I hope to lay hands on a few canes and just see how well it does do. They tell me that Morling Charm has potential commercially to fetch a premium due to its sweetness and juiciness. So there we are. You know, there's a bit of a problem. When you go for these cultivars that really are excellent when it comes to taste and flavour, and you grow some yourself. It rather spoils everything else you go out to eat. You know, you go to buy an apple, well, it's nothing compared to one that you've picked that's ripened on the tree and is in just perfect condition. Without question, it's worth growing your own. I've just been to a specialist of peppers. You know, my tastes are pretty well traditional English, I'm afraid. You know, meat and three veg, I'm not really into these, shall we say, Far Eastern hot flavours or Caribbean flavours. But Mark Rowland and Maggie Godsell up near Spalding have spent the last 10 years sorting out and breeding both sweet and hot peppers for flavour. Boy, it's amazing what they're doing. Hope to cover that in a week or two in the paper, so just watch out for that story, and it won't be long, I hope, before you're tasting both sweet and hot peppers in much the same way as you'd savour fine wine. You'll be able to pick out all kinds of flavours from their latest introductions. Some taste smoky, some are citrus, then we've got minty and fruity and all kinds of complex mixtures. So expect to hear quite a lot from Gourmet Genetics and this quite dramatic arrival in terms of flavours in capsicum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you travel the world looking at garden centres, as I've done, I'm happy to tell you that Britain has a pretty good reputation for really fine garden centres. And most of them, if they come to Britain, head up to Manchester to see Bent's Garden and Home Centre. We're very lucky. Matthew Bent, third generation of the family business, is here to speak to us. How are things up there near Warrington?
Well, today is a good day. It's sun is shining, it's not too windy, and people are getting into the Christmas spirit. So, yeah, it's feeling a good day today.
Can you just sort of paint a picture of the Bent family business? I mean, you've got a special anniversary this year, haven't you?
Yeah, it's our 80th anniversary this year. So it was my grandparents who started off the business back in 1937, and they started just over the road from where the site is at the moment at 404 Warrington Road. And they started very much as a bit of a hobby, where they were growing plants and especially roses in his front garden. And a lot of people used to comment on his garden how good the roses were. And he eventually started selling them from just like a little stall outside the house. And that led to buying more land, expanding, and really getting into more of a commercial growing operation. So the doctor actually said to my granddad, he said, you know, you need to get an outside job, because he'd suffered a lot earlier, because he used to be down the mine. So they actually said to him, you need an outside job, which spurred him on even more to actually set up the family business and grow roses even more.
That's amazing. I mean, there were a number of miners who were very keen gardeners, weren't they? Up in the northeast, they used to compete with chrysanthemums, I know, especially. And if I remember correctly, I will have shown roses at Southport and Shrewsbury alongside your grandfather. There were a lot of rose nurseries at that time, weren't there?
Oh, there was a huge amount in the northwest, from Friars being one of them to ourselves. And, you know, it used to be the shows. We used to actually have a show here on site. One of the societies used to come round here, so we had big marquees. But yes, we used to, my granddad used to take his roses around the northwest and show them off. It was fantastic, and the dedication they had to those roses was amazing. Yeah. It was actually interesting. We found out, because we were looking through our history, and one of the things we found was that roses used to be very easy to grow up in the northwest, because there was a lot of sulfur in the air, because we had so much industrial buildings and industrial industry going on around here. So they used to pump out a lot of sulfur into the air, which made growing roses very easy.
No black spot.
No black spot. Wasn't so good for the workers in the fields, but it was great for the roses. And it's actually the Clean Air Act, when that came in, it actually affected it. So people then moved away from roses and went to more of the ornamental varieties and plants. So, you know, it's amazing how things change.
It is indeed. Now, from your grandfather, it was your dad, Ron, and his brother, John, who sort of did the business then. John, when I was up there last, several years ago, I regret to admit, had a really wonderful garden. Is that still going?
Oh, he's absolutely dedicated to his garden. So he still spends most of his week out in his garden, and he's always coming up with creative and new ideas and what he can do. And you know, he's just got a fantastic imagination, and he's very good because he's a photographer and he's a gardener. So he's actually the way he sets his garden out is a very sort of looking at how you'd see different areas of the garden, and you'd see it through a photographic eye. And he's got one of the best selections in the northwest of snowdrops. So in the spring, it just looks like a carpet of sort of, and hundreds of different varieties of snowdrops. So really is fantastic to come and see.
Yeah, real horticultural mecca.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But then your dad, Ron, and your mum, Wendy, they've really developed the garden centre aspect to what it is today, isn't it, with you following on?
Yeah, very much so. It's my dad who really pushed the business forward. And we went into, you know, areas such as, you know, which was unheard of in garden centres, into catering. It's back in 1982 when we opened our first cafe, and a lot of people said to us, well, why are you going into cafe? We want people to come in, buy the plants and go again, you know. But my dad sort of could see that people, you know, gave another reason for people to come to Bent and to go into the coffee bar. And it's now one of our bigger areas of the business. And they also went into Christmas, which was, again, because he used to get money in the spring. And, you know, he had to last the whole of the year. So I thought Christmas was an ideal thing to bring people in at that time and bring some money to the business.
Well, now you talk about 1982 and a cafe. I mean, that's the understatement of a lifetime, isn't it, for what you run now?
Oh, yes, yeah, very much so. It's a huge part of our business, you know, from a tapas bar to six different places. You can get coffee and cake and sandwiches around the business. So we've really expanded out. And I think our more unusual one is our pet cafe. So you can come in and you can have a cappuccino and a muffin, and your pet can have a puppuccino and a woofin.
A woofin?
Yeah.
Come on, Matthew, you're pulling my leg.
No, absolutely. We sell dog biscuits and woofins in there, so it's really popular, especially under pet owners. And there's a great, because there's a great walk out in the back where pet owners can come along and breeds meet together. So there's a cockapoo one the other day where all these breeds and owners get together, and, you know, it's a great meeting point.
Well, now just walk us round your centre then. For those people who can't make the journey immediately, I park out the front, and I nice, free, comfortable car parking.
Yeah. So we've got almost two parts of the garden centre, but the big thing that we have is we all have plants in the middle of the garden centre, and it's always been a real strong area for ourselves. You know, we still grow 60% of all the plants. So as you come into the centre, it's very much as a Christmas mecca, as a lot of other garden centres. And other retailers are at this time of the year. But you can sneak through our food hall and get straight to the plants. So we still see, you know, Christmas as being a strong part of it, but also the plants. But we've got, you know, we've expanded that into areas over the time, such as I mentioned about the restaurant, but also we have a pet store, which is a really popular area. We've got a children's boutique, a cook shop, a big food hall we introduced about 3 years ago, and that's been really popular. You know, great butchers in there, a wine shop, and also, you know, just providing everything for the home as well. So we try and provide the whole service, you know, not just for the outside, but also for, for the inside and great products. And we try and strive to have a wow factor. So we call it surprising and delighting our customers. So we want them to come around the store and just say wow all the time. And we have these amazing displays that spend, you know, we take probably about 6 to 8 weeks to install, but it takes about 18 months to plan. So it's a real wow factor as you're walking around.
Well, I'm hoping to come up in the next day or so, I can't wait to see it. But, I mean, you talk about food hall and butchers, and you're going even further now, aren't you? You've got a winter food market?
Yeah, so our winter food market is new this year. We realised that, you know, it's a big trend at the moment to have these German-type markets, and a lot of the more popular ones are the food. That serve the food and the wine and the beer, and it's something we see. We've got an amazing sort of open skies greenhouse, which we just feel as though make a great environment and to get customers in, because we are very busy at the weekend, and what we're trying to do is encourage people to come during the evening. So we've got lots of activities, live bands and other activities going on, and we're serving, you know, the classic bratwurst, the sausages, we're doing pulled pork sandwiches, waffles, crepes, mulled wine, so there's lots of things to offer in there, and it just creates another attraction, another reason to come to Bent.
Sounds like a great day out for the family.
Yeah, absolutely, what? Yeah.
You can even bring the dog.
I guess, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Now, what are the times then, Matthew? You know, you spoke about evenings. How late do you open?
Yeah, we open at 8:30 in the morning, and then we're closed at 9 p.m. during the week. There's a lot of demand for that. Especially around this area where a lot of the shops stay open until 10, 11 o'clock. So it's an important time, and we do get a lot of people during our evening. And as we get closer to Christmas, we put on demonstration evenings as well. So we'll be teaching our customers how to, you know, how to make do the perfect tree, how to make garlands, wreaths, how to dress your home, also food. So there's lots of activities going on in the evening to try and provide that extra service as well.
I mean, what would your grandparents have thought, Matthew, about all of that?
I think it would be amazing and shocked at how different it would be from starting that little stall to how it is now.
Yeah.
But I think hopefully they'd be impressed and appreciate everything we've done so far.
But you offer wonderful employment too, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you must have a lot of people. If you're open from 8:30 till 9, how on earth many people do you employ?
We have over 500 people. We employ sort of around the local area, so that's a mix between part time and full time. So there's a lot of people. Because we're open those late hours, it means that we have got the opportunity, and it's those busy times. So some people doing short times, but a lot of people during the week. So 500 people is a lot of people to look after, and I have to try and remember everybody's name as well, which is always a challenge. But I try as much as possible.
Yeah, your mum and dad, Ron and Wendy, were very active with the International Garden Centre Association. Did they go to Canada?
Yes, they said it was, they've been on, I think they've probably been on the last 20 or 30, and they really enjoy not only just going out there and seeing different ideas, but also chatting to other people.
So did they come back and bend your ear a bit?
Oh, yes, loads of ideas. I think he's got like 1,000 pictures. Of all the different pictures that they've seen and you know, the inspiration over there. I believe some really good centres over there. So, yeah, it just being out there, just seeing those ideas just refreshes and, you know, helps you start thinking differently.
It does indeed. Matthew, it's been an absolute joy to speak to you. I very much look forward to coming and being wowed in the next few days. Thanks again.
Okay, thanks, Peter.
I'm not sure I should let you into a little secret, but I've mentioned in the paper recently that I've been having trouble with foxes. And the last straw was when I would think several of them trashed my crop of sweet corn. The plant stood about 7 feet high, stems nearly as thick as my wrist, and they had some really stunning cobs, very sweet and succulent, just ready for picking. I did actually record a piece for our video tips the day before the fox did its business. And really, I can't live with that. And so I got on the internet and found a pest control company, and they arrived with a trap to catch the fox. And the chap who came said, You know, they're not very clever foxes. And so he put two lovely pieces of Marks and Sparks breast of chicken on the hook, set the trap, off he went with a phone number for me to ring when we caught the fox the next morning. Well, I got up next morning early, and sure enough, the fox had been there. He'd eaten the chicken, come out, and then set the trap. So I just had an empty trap and no chicken. I thought, well, I can set that trap better than that bloke, I know. And so I got some rather cheaper chicken and put it on the hook, set the trap, got up very early the next morning and found I caught the neighbour's cat. Fortunately, it come to no harm, so I let it out. But I tell you, I'm not letting up. That fox can't keep eating my sweet corn. On a more brighter note, I should just remind you that the founding AGM of the Rose Society UK will be held at St Michael's Church Hall, Hall Lane, Pelsall, in the West Midlands. A number of exhibitors have set up this new society to really replace the Royal National Rose Society, which sadly went into liquidation earlier this year. And at the Rose Society UK, they will have Michael Marriott from David Austin Roses. A world authority he is on roses. And he'll be speaking, so that will be a good event to go to if you're up in the Midlands. Thanks again to our sponsors, Mr. Fothergill's Seeds, and to my producer, Charlie Jones. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.